I'm Rod Fritz. Today's headlines report of record high inflation, escalating interest rates, and military conflicts. If you are entering or in retirement, you likely have feelings of uncertainty. You need a plan. A Marshall Plan. Marshall Wealth Management is a group of experienced financial professionals that provide clients with fully customized, comprehensive financial services, along with a special level of communication and accountability. Mike Marshall invites you to attend his next educational workshop, Wednesday, June 22nd at Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. Visit MarshallWealth.com today and reserve your seat. Wednesday, June 22nd at Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. Visit MarshallWealth.com. That's Marshall with two L's. MarshallWealth.com. MarshallWealth.com.
It's time for Marshall Wealth Radio with Mike Marshall. Mike specializes in servicing his clients' overall financial needs, including asset management, retirement planning, estate planning, and insurance planning. And now, your host of Marshall Wealth Radio, Rod Fritz.
Welcome to Marshall Wealth Radio. I'm Rod Fritz, along with Mike Marshall. And Mike is the CEO and the founder of Marshall Wealth Management. You can reach Mike at 857-342-1030. We'll have that phone number throughout the program for you. Also online at MarshallWealth.com. Mike, welcome once again to Marshall Wealth Radio.
Good morning, my friend. It's great to be here.
It's always a pleasure to see you. And I want to get this off my chest right now, because coming up June 1st, you have two workshops.
Yes, we do.
And they are on taxes and retirement, right?
They are primarily, but we'll be talking about all aspects of retirement for retirees.
On June 22nd, 11 a.m. at the Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset.
We're going to have a lot of information for pre-retirees and folks that are already in retirement, trying to weather this storm that we're faced with right now, where falling markets, rising interest rates, war in Ukraine. I mean, it just keeps coming at us.
Oh, for sure. You can register online at MarshallWealth.com. That's Marshall with two L's, MarshallWealth.com. And you can also register by calling 857-342-1030.
We're going to do something a little unique at these workshops, Rod.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
So the information that we provide is educational information and generic in nature. But the information that we provide regarding all of the other key areas, legal, financial, and tax, will benefit you going down the road through retirement for sure.
June 22nd, 11 a.m. at the Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. And again, you can register online at MarshallWealth.com and also by calling Mike Marshall at 857-342-1030. All right, Mike, here we are on Marshall Wealth Radio. What do you say we start off with some of the news that's going on?
In the news, it's most important.
All right, let's go to the tape. New home sales dropped for the fourth straight month in April, offering up another sign that the housing market is starting to slow. The volume, Mike, of new single-family home sales fell to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 591,000 last month, according to Census Bureau and the Department of Housing and Urban Development. That is down 16.6% from the March rate and 26.9% lower than the rate a year ago.
I'll simplify it for you.
Okay.
Interest rates.
Yeah, the interest rates are up a lot, aren't they?
It's incredible, and I know this firsthand because I just made an offer on a home.
Oh.
And it's incredible what the 30-year fixed rate is today at around 5.5, compared to what it was just 6 months ago. And folks, if you didn't take that opportunity back then to refinance your debt, I'm afraid you missed the boat.
Yeah.
Because that interest rate horse is out and it is running, and we have no idea where it's going to end up.
And it's keeping a lot of the first-time home buyers out of the market, too.
Interestingly enough, I had a client call me. They said that their son had made an offer on a home for $400,000, and that was the asking price.
Wow.
And they were outbid at $4.55.
Holy smokes.
So people are getting a little bit irrational about, you know, the housing market and getting in their dream home or their first home. But these interest rates will have a major effect on housing purchases and new home starts going forward.
And coming up on the program here, we're going to talk about the prime rate and the federal funds rate and how that affects things too, right?
Yes, the prime rate, federal funds rate, those are the rates that the rubber hits the road.
All right, we'll talk about that coming up, but let's get back to the news, okay? Ukraine's finance minister said delays in getting international financial aid delivered are leaving the government with a financial gap, with Russia inflicting, are you ready, 300 million euros of damage on the country every day.
Yeah.
Estonia and Lithuania are pushing for European nations to send warships to the Black Sea to protect freighters carrying Ukrainian grain from potential Russian interference. Russia has effectively blockaded Ukrainian ports as part of its invasion, sending the prices to near record highs.
Yeah, it's not getting any better in Ukraine. And we just hit the three-month anniversary of Russia invading Ukraine, which is nothing to celebrate for sure. But no, Ukrainians, they need our help. And they don't need just our help. They need the help of all of the countries around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a team effort. It's going to take an effort that is designed specifically to get Ukraine through this war and then into the recovery period where their infrastructure and as well their humanitarian situation is a disaster.
Right. And this could eventually hear this, the fact that Ukrainian grain is on some freighters that may not even get out to where they're supposed to go.
Right.
We could have a food shortage in some countries.
I think it's already happening in some industries. We do have shortages of food, obviously baby formula and things of that nature that we all heard about in the news. But by the way, the plane landed safely in Indiana, I guess.
Yeah, it was Indiana. That's right.
Yeah. Enough baby food to feed 9,000 families for a week or something, but obviously we need a lot more baby food and we need a lot more other things that are difficult to come by. And the reason is, as we know, the war in Ukraine has really disrupted the supply chain around the world.
Right. And that affects us as far as our inflation goes and finding things on the shelves that you used to be able to find but can't find anymore.
Right. I mean, you know, 30 years ago, we operated domestically as an economy, pretty much. I mean, obviously, we had international business and business with China and all that. But we had our own, every country had their own economy that they were functioning with. But now, the world truly is one global economy.
Yeah, for sure. So also in the news, Mike, and I know you know this because you do drive a car, and a lot of folks out there are driving cars. President Biden said this past week that the country is going through, quote, incredible transition, unquote, away from fossil fuels via the high gas prices being experienced around the country nationwide. Mr. Biden made the statement on gas prices during a joint press conference with the Japanese prime minister. He was returning from his Asian trip. Quote, here's the situation, and when it comes to gas prices, we're going through an incredible transition that is taking place that, God willing, when it's over, will be stronger and the world will be stronger and less reliant on fossil fuels when this is over, unquote. That was from President Biden.
What happens in the meantime?
I don't know, but he said he didn't expect a recession, pointing to the low unemployment rate and how America's economy, he says, is growing faster than China's for the first time in decades. And while Mr. Biden acknowledged the U.S. has problems, he says they are less consequential than the rest of the world has because of our internal growth and strength.
Does that make us feel better?
No.
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 First of all, the reason why our economy is operating better than China's economy is because China specifically Shanghai, has been closed down for COVID. And you know what COVID does to the productivity of an economy.
Mm-hmm.
It grabs it right by the throat and can really do some damage. So, you know, there's a lot going on, obviously, and it's just a storm that we've got to get through. It's like a perfect storm.
Yeah.
We had all those years of wonderful stock markets and plenty of stuff on the shelves, and interest rates were low. You could purchase things and get money pretty easily. There was no Ukraine war. There was no COVID. But since COVID, nothing has been the same.
That is so true. And COVID is going to be with us for a while to come, I'm afraid,
in
one form or another.
I was listening to the radio this morning, and they were talking about long COVID.
Yeah, long COVID.
Boy, oh boy.
All right, so we talked about that. The low unemployment, how's that affecting us as we try to save for retirement?
It is very, very difficult for business owners to find employees to do the job, to do the work. So right now, there are an estimated, around the country, 2 job openings for every 1 person looking for a job. So, you know, they talk about technology and machines replacing people, but right now, we're not there. We need the people to operate the machines to get the productivity done so that we can get it in the stores to sell for Christmas and whatnot. As a matter of fact, you know, stores have been advertising for Christmas, I've seen, because it's going to take them so long to get the product on the shelves.
Right.
They're worried if they don't order it and promote it now that it won't be there in time.
And, you know, the other thing that I've also noticed is that, yes, they're looking to get the products in time before the holidays and Christmas.
Right.
They're also lining up people to work over that holiday time,
yes,
all the way
they
from Thanksgiving through the Christmas season.
Yes, they are. Retailers, banks, financial institutions. Bank of America just raised their minimum wage to $22 an hour.
Wow.
I mean, if you're a teller,
mm-hmm.
you get out of high school.
Mm-hmm. Or how about someone in retirement who wants a part-time job?
It's perfect. And then with the Secure Act now, if you don't need the money, you can defer it in a qualified pre-retirement account.
You know, speaking of the Secure Act, we're going to talk about that coming up. We don't have enough time right now to talk about the Secure Act
mm-hmm.
because I know how much you like to talk about it, Mike.
I do, because it's really all we have when it comes to the government helping us save for retirement, since pensions don't exist anymore.
Yeah, this is Marshall Wealth Radio. He's Mike Marshall. I'm Rod Fritz. Mike is the CEO and founder of Marshall Wealth Management. And another workshop from Marshall Wealth Management with Mike Marshall, of course, is coming up on June 22nd at 11 a.m., the Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. You can register by calling 857-342-1030 or go online at marshallwealth.com. Okay, so we said we're going to talk about the Secure Act 2.0
yes.
coming up. And you know what? That's next, right here, Marshall Wealth Radio on WRKO. I'm Rod Fritz. Today's headlines report of record high inflation, escalating interest rates, and military conflicts. If you are entering or in retirement, you likely have feelings of uncertainty. You need a plan, a Marshall Plan. Marshall Wealth Management is a group of experienced financial professionals that provide clients with fully customized, comprehensive financial services, along with a special level of communication and accountability. Mike Marshall invites you to attend his next educational workshop, Wednesday, June 22nd, at Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. Visit marshallwealth.com today and reserve your seat. Wednesday, June 22nd at Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. Visit marshallwealth.com. That's Marshall with 2 L's. marshallwealth.com. marshallwealth.com. And we are back on Marshall Wealth Radio. I'm Rod Fritz here with Mike Marshall. Mike is the CEO and the founder of Marshall Wealth Management. And you can reach Mike at 857-342-1030 or call him online or, well, register to see him online at marshallwealth.com. And there's a lot of information there that you can – actually, a lot of the information we talk about on the program here. And just, again, a reminder, he has a workshop coming up, two of them, on June 1st, one at 11 a.m., one at 6 p.m., at the Marabeau Spa in Plymouth. You can register online at marshallwealth.com, or you can call him at 857-342-1030. Now, I don't want to keep people waiting, Mike, because I know that they've been there saying, okay, come on. What's with the Secure Act 2.0? And what is this new Secure? And I say it's new because we have talked about the Secure Act in the past.
Yes, we talked about the original Secure Act that was passed in 2019.
But what's this one mean for small business?
Well, it's an enhancement on the original act.
Okay.
All right. And we've talked about in the past how this act originally would affect employees. And now we're going to talk a little bit about how it would affect business owners.
Okay.
And small business owners in particular.
Mm-hmm.
By the way.
Yes.
Small business owners make up 66% of the economy.
That's
small business. Not large business.
Yeah, right.
Small business.
Mom and pop.
That's right.
Mom and pop and small business.
That's right. And so when, you know, when corporations, big corporations, decided that they were going to take away pensions for the American employee and instead offer them defined contribution plans, which is a 401k or 403b.
Okay. Right.
That was a monumental change for American investors and American savers. And the reason is because the employer, through the pension, would do all of the work for you, and you had to do nothing when it came to saving for retirement. They would make the contributions. They were responsible for calculating the amount. They were responsible for deciding where to invest it, how to manage it, and then creating a lifetime income versus the defined contribution plan, which is, again, the 401k. The employee is responsible for all of those things that the employer used to be responsible for, making the contributions, calculating how much you need to put into your plan every year, deciding where to invest the money, when to rebalance the account, and then finally, how much can I distribute to myself so that my nest egg lasts me my lifetime. So all of that responsibility is now on the shoulders of the American worker. And that is a massive, massive responsibility that has been shifted from corporate America to the employee, okay? And so what happened was, with the elimination of these pensions, people didn't have the same understanding of how important it was for them to pick up where the corporations left off. And a lot of people didn't sign up for the 401k. They liked having the extra money in their pocket.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
So we got into a situation, and I think the government saw this, is that most people are underfunded for retirement, and we better do something about it. They created the Secure Act originally, and now it's Secure Act 2.0 to enhance the original.
And enhances it how?
Well, basically, the Secure Act, which stands for Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement, is a situation now where they're mandating automatic enrollment for employees.
So it starts from the time that you start your job.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's automatic enrollment followed by education to help you understand exactly what your options are and what you need to be doing inside the plan. The 401k plan now is your primary nest egg next to the value of your home. So for them to shift the responsibility of all those things onto the employee without training, without the temperament, or without the knowledge of how to do it, I think was very irresponsible. I think there should have been a much better plan in place to transition folks from pensions, defined benefit plans, to 401ks, defined contribution plans.
But you, as the CEO at Marshall Wealth Management, you can help people make these decisions.
Well, that's
part of what you do.
That is absolutely what we do. So we're a comprehensive firm, Rod, and we look at all of the different areas in financial planning, right? Retirement, estate planning, tax planning, insurance planning, et cetera. So your 401k, even though we're not managing it here at the firm,
right,
we will provide our clients guidance and advice so that whatever they're doing with their 401k matches the rest of the design of their plan. So it's got to be cohesive. And it doesn't matter that the money is not invested with us. It's still your money. And in the case of a 401k, it's probably your second largest asset.
You know, the one thing I noticed when I first signed up for a 401k, and there really wasn't much of an education that was given to me at that time.
Right.
And I had to kind of figure it out on my own on what I was going to pick and mm-hmm. do this. But the other thing that I noticed, too, is you could call the company that was running your 401k and seek advice from them. And I'm going, yeah, but they're only looking out for themselves here.
Well, whether or not they're looking out, first of all, they're not a fiduciary. When you call the 800 number at Fidelity, yeah. you're not talking with a fiduciary.
Yeah, yeah.
You're talking with someone who is there to answer the phone and guide you. But you know that they are prohibited, Rod, from giving you specific advice? They're not financial planners.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they can give you information and generic advice all day long, and then you can interpret it and apply it to your situation. But if you want customized, specific guidance on anything financial, you need to come and see a professional.
Right, like you, Mike Marshall at Marshall Wealth Management. You can reach Mike at 857-342-1030. Also, marshallwealth.com on the website. And I didn't mention this before. I have in previous programs. You have a Facebook page, too.
We do. We have a beautiful Facebook page. Very, very well done by some very special people.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with the design. I'm not that person, Rod.
You're not a social media guy?
No, I'm not a nor am I any kind of a tech guy.
No, I'm not either. That's why I usually call a teenager.
Yeah.
To help
my
me out.
Son is my savior. But,
yeah, exactly.
No, I try to get through the phone, and that's about it. I end it at the phone as far as technology goes.
Right. Now, let's go back to some of the things that the Secure Act will do for small business.
Yes, let's get into it.
Yep.
So, number one, it expands automatic enrollment. We already talked about that.
Right.
And it also creates an auto-escalation or a step deferral, excuse me, helping to increase participation and contribution rates for eligible employees, right?
Mm-hmm.
Second big thing is they're raising the catch-up contribution limits for people ages 62 to 64, and it's going to make it a little easier for those folks who really haven't saved enough to boost their savings as they close in on retirement. Then there's going to be increasing tax incentives for the small businesses just to set the plans up. So you got to give them an incentive, right?
Right.
And that'll offer, hopefully, that'll encourage more employers to offer this benefit with the tax incentive. And then hopefully, next is they're allowing them to match an employee's student loan payment with a contribution to their retirement plan. So I thought that was very creative.
Yes, indeed, it was.
You realize how much student debt there is out there.
Oh, my goodness.
I think we talked about it in a prior show.
Yeah, and I think we'll be talking about it in future shows, too.
Yeah, considering it's the number one asset on the balance sheet of the U.S. government.
That's amazing.
That's pretty incredible,
yeah,
right?
Right, for sure. Boy, okay. Oh boy. Okay, right. So other changes.
Continuing on.
Other
yes.
things happening.
Yes, continuing on.
Yes.
They're raising the required minimum distribution age. So we talked about that in the past. Prior to the Secure Act, original Secure Act, you had to start taking distributions from your qualified retirement plan at age 70 and a half.
Correct.
Don't ask me where they came up with the half.
Right.
The Secure Act changed it from 70 and a half to 72, which gave people a little bit more time to defer and grow the asset before they had to take distributions.
Right.
The new SECURE Act 2.0 takes folks from 72 now to 75 over the next 10 years. So it's a graduated increase in the required minimum distribution age.
And that means then at 75, you have to take money out.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Are you allowed to take money out before you're 75?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Once you hit 59 and a half, you can take out anything out of your plan without a penalty, but you will pay a tax.
Right. But we all pay a tax.
Right.
On everything.
Correct. Correct. secondly, the SECURE Act 2.0, it delivers some pretty powerful incentives for small businesses to offer the plan, all right? Doubling of the tax credit for setting up a plan. So any business with 50 or fewer employees, this new legislation will increase the existing tax credit from 50% to 100% of the plan's startup expenses. And it's capped at like $5,000 per employer, so per small business.
Yeah, but that's great news for small businesses and the mom and pops who only might have 15, 25 employees.
I agree, and it gives them an incentive to open
exactly.
up the plan. And, you know, that tax credit of $5,000 is applicable for the first 3 years of the plan. So the total credit, tax credit, would be $15,000.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Much broader eligibility requirements for the startup tax credit as well. The employers would receive startup credits based on the year they join an existing plan, instead of only offering the credit for the plan's first 3 years. And then the matching contributions, they've put in a scaled, upgraded schedule for matching contributions, and that's going to increase the dollars that are going into these plans. So you can tell that with the SECURE Act, the government is encouraging you to get back in the game and start saving for retirement.
And it sounds like the government realizes there's more to retirement than just Social Security.
Oh, there's no question.
Yeah.
I think that currently Social Security, if we don't do anything to fix the problem, the Social Security Trust Fund runs out in 2034. So the younger folks should not be relying on Social Security. If we
right.
have it, if we make the necessary changes to keep the trust fund healthy and producing Social Security benefits, I would consider that a bonus if I was in my 20s.
Okay. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about the prime rate and the federal funds rate. And maybe we can even get to revocable trusts and irrevocable trusts.
If we have time.
If we have time. Yeah, we've got a lot of time here on Marshall Wealth Radio on WRKO. I'm Rod Fritz. Today's headlines report of record high inflation, escalating interest rates, and military conflicts. If you are entering or in retirement, you likely have feelings of uncertainty. You need a plan, a Marshall Plan. Marshall Wealth Management is a group of experienced financial professionals that provide clients with fully customized, comprehensive financial services, along with a special level of communication and accountability. Mike Marshall invites you to attend his next educational workshop, Wednesday, June 22nd at Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. Visit MarshallWealth.com today and reserve your seat. Wednesday, June 22nd at Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. Visit MarshallWealth.com. That's Marshall with two L's. MarshallWealth.com. MarshallWealth.com. Welcome back to Marshall Wealth Radio. Mike Marshall is here. He is the CEO and the founder of Marshall Wealth Management. I'm Rod Fritz, and we are talking about the difference between the prime rate and the federal funds rate. So let's start, Mike. with the federal funds rate. What the heck is that?
The federal funds rate is the most important interest rate in the country. And it is a rate that is set by the Federal Open Market Committee, which is the policymaking body of the Federal Reserve System. They meet like 8 times a year to set the target for the federal funds rate, which is part of monetary policy in this country, right? And basically, it's used to help promote economic growth. And while they do set the rate itself is determined in the overnight lending market based on supply and demand of short-term reserves held by commercial banks. And that's where the prime rate comes in, because the prime rate is the rate, that interest rate that commercial banks charge for their most credit-worthy corporate members. So the federal funds overnight rate serves as the basis for the prime rate, and the prime rate serves as the starting point for most other interest rates.
Right. So, I mean, I'm a little confused here, because I don't quite understand how the federal funds rate works and how it impacts me.
Well, I mean, if you look at any kind of a loan, we'll start with mortgages.
Okay.
Car loans, credit card debt, school loans, variable rate mortgages especially right now need to be on guard because of the increase in the pace of increase of rates. So the federal funds rate is the rate that determines what it costs to borrow money, Rod. Very simple. And the key takeaway is that the FOMC, they meet 8 times a year to set this rate. And it's the target interest rate that they set for the rest of the country. And it's the rate at which commercial banks borrow and lend their excess reserves to each other overnight. And prevailing economic conditions will really determine what they do with the rate. For example, obviously it's going to influence short-term consumer loans and credit cards, as we had mentioned. Right,
right. Right.
But
and here I always thought it was the prime that affected the rates of your credit cards, and
they work together.
Okay.
So you'll see that some interest rates are prime minus one or prime minus a half. So they're basing the rate off of the prime rate, which is determined by the federal funds rate. So it all works together. But the Federal Reserve actually, back in 2020, when COVID first hit, they lowered the rate to zero.
I remember that.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
And then it began raising it shortly thereafter, about 24 months later, to combat what they saw was coming inflation. And boy, were they right. And they met again in May, and they again raised the rate by 50 basis points. And so now Chairman Powell is basically saying that, you know, we're going to raise rates at the next 5 or 6 meetings. And the good news is we only see 50 basis point rate hikes, not 75 basis point rate hikes. So I don't know if you want to call that a good thing or not, but it's going to make it a lot more expensive for people to buy homes, cars, student loans, credit card debt,
right,
and the like.
So even though your credit card interest rate right now might be, let's say, 16.7%, which
right,
probably is pretty good for credit cards, because of the increase in the federal funds rate and then the impact on the prime rate, the credit card companies, they can increase that interest rate, even though you already signed off on the 16.8%.
Yeah, there's a contract that you sign when you open a credit card, and usually annually they can adjust the rate. So I don't think they can do it mid-year, but I know that they can definitely change the rate on your credit card.
Right.
And if you have a variable rate mortgage, you're going to see these mortgage payments go up by $400 or $500 a month, Rod. It's significant. I mean, it's nothing to sneeze at, as they say. It's significant real money that especially folks in retirement just do not have.
Right. Now, is there a way that people can try to protect themselves?
Well, low debt or no debt,
okay,
is the best way to protect,
yeah,
yourself.
Right.
But what's happening is that these increase in rates are exacerbating the cost of everything. So when prices go up and inflation rears its ugly head, consumers tend to slow down on their spending. And that's one of the ways that they can protect themselves, is to slow down on their spending.
And that helps combat inflation too, right?
It does help combat inflation, but it is not good for a robust economy, because the economy in this country, believe it or not, 65% of the economy is based on consumer spending. And the other two-thirds are based on government spending and business spending, corporate spending. Mm-hmm. So we as individuals, we make up the largest percentage of the economy in this country, small businesses and individuals. Everybody thinks corporate America, corporate America. Yes, corporate America is extremely powerful because they are so big. But in reality, they still don't control the economy. The economy is dependent on you and I going out to dinner, buying new cars, buying new appliances, and purchasing homes, right?
Right.
And if we're not doing those things, the economy is going to slow down, which, you are correct, will help inflation.
Right. Now, is there anything else that we should know regarding the prime rate and the federal funds rate?
Well, the prime rate, I'd like to give you a definition.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Because when I think prime rate, I'm sorry, I get hungry. And I think prime rib.
Prime.
Call me crazy, but whenever I see it on TV, prime rate, I want a medium rare.
All right, so I'm going to read you the definition. What is a prime rib?
Okay.
What is a prime rate? Well, the prime rate is the interest rate that commercial banks charge their most creditworthy corporate customers. And I said this earlier. So,
right.
So think about it. They don't want to gouge their corporate customers. These are the best customers they have. So the prime rate is the rate that they'll charge, and they might even charge you prime minus. And if you can get prime minus, that's really special.
Yeah, that means you're a real good person.
Well, the prime rate is the lowest, and then if they give you prime minus, that's obviously supersedes it. But the prime rate, as you had indicated, it's the starting point for most other interest rates. And so everything is based off the federal funds rate and the prime rate. Those are the two that drive the bus.
Right.
Okay.
And I think you mentioned it earlier, the head of the Fed, Mr. Powell, right?
That's correct.
He's already said he's going to be raising it over the next several months, and there's several meetings coming up.
Right. And I'm just not sure how far they're willing to go with rates. But
right.
I know that back in the 80s, I believe that they went to 20% at one point.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, in response to inflation. That was back in 1980, though.
Yeah, that was a recession.
Right. No. In the 80s, it was inflation.
Okay.
The recession was 2007, 8, and 9.
Right.
And that's when they slashed it to 0 to 0.25%.
Yeah.
And they were attempting to encourage growth, obviously. But
I was confused there for a moment.
It's like a joystick. You know, Powell has this joystick, the FOMC. They have this joystick that dictates where interest rates should be based on what's happening in not only the U.S. economy, but in the world economy. It's a very, very difficult balancing act that they have.
And it's tough, isn't it, to predict what's going to happen here?
Well, it is tough to predict what's going to happen.
Because if you could, you'd be a wizard.
Who knew Russia was going to invade Ukraine?
Yeah, right.
Who knew COVID was coming?
Right.
I mean, we were all blindsided by this.
Yes.
And the challenge for people going forward, especially retirees, I keep saying it, Rod, and pre-retirees, you must have a plan. If you don't have a plan will be created for you.
You know, that brings us to the tip of the week.
Let's do it.
You know, I love this segue. It brings us right to the tip of the week, because I believe the Mike Marshall tip of the week on Marshall Wealth Radio here is make sure that your nest egg is positioned according to your goals.
Exactly. So too often do I meet with clients who are either in retirement or closing in on it, and their nest egg is not positioned properly for the times that they're entering. For example.
Yes, I need an example.
Exactly. Folks have a 401k, 403b, whatever it is they're using as their primary retirement savings vehicle, you have a responsibility to go and make sure that the investments inside that 401k are in line with the rest of your investments so that it's a cohesive plan and not a plan that's contradictory. And so with a 401k, your responsibility is, should you be rebalancing? Should you be changing your allocation due to either market conditions, or should you be changing your allocation due to the fact that you're about to retire or that you're already retired? We do see a lot of people who leave their plan at their former employer, and the only reason they do it is because no one has talked to them about the advantages and disadvantages of rolling over the plan and putting it in an IRA so that you can take control of it. There are lots of advantages to that, and there may be some disadvantages for some as well, but you need to look at it.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people who have left their 401ks back when they've left the company, and they just leave it alone,
right,
and figure, well, it'll be okay for the next 5, 10, 15 years. But you're saying that may not be the best idea.
Exactly. Every situation is different, and every situation needs to be looked at so that we're making sure that we're maximizing the value of that account, whether it be through a change in allocation or a change in fees or a change in fund management, whatever it is, you've got to check on these things that are in your nest egg, because ultimately you're responsible.
Right.
And that was the whole point of my conversation with you earlier when I said that they have shifted the onus and the responsibility of saving for retirement to the employee from the employer.
Right, exactly. And if you need to talk to Mike, he has a couple of workshops coming up. On June 1st, there'll be two workshops on the same day, one at 11 a.m. If you can't make that one around, you know, in the morning, you can make the evening one at 6 p.m. So 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. on June 1st, workshops, taxes and retirement,
mm-hmm.
also talking about Social Security.
Yes.
And you mentioned people could bring their Social Security thing that they get from, what is it,
SSA.gov.
SSA.gov.
Yeah, if you don't have a recent copy,
right,
you can go on to SSA.gov and register and print off a copy of your Social Security estimate. And it's very, very helpful in determining what your claiming options will be.
And another workshop from Marshall Wealth Management with Mike Marshall, of course, is coming up on June 22nd at 11 a.m., the Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. You can register by calling 857-342-1030 or go online at marshallwealth.com. Now, when we come back, a lot of people in retirement and even just before retirement, Mike, are thinking about revocable trusts and irrevocable trusts.
Estate planning, yes.
Yeah, and there's quite a difference. I'm Rod Fritz. Today's headlines report of record high inflation, escalating interest rates, and military conflicts. If you are entering or in retirement, you likely have feelings of uncertainty. You need a plan, a Marshall Plan. Marshall Wealth Management is a group of experienced financial professionals that provide clients with fully customized, comprehensive financial services, along with a special level of communication and accountability. Mike Marshall invites you to attend his next educational workshop, Wednesday, June 22nd, at Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. Visit marshallwealth.com today and reserve your seat. Wednesday, June 22nd, at Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. Visit marshallwealth.com. That's Marshall with two L's. marshallwealth.com. marshallwealth.com. Okay, here we are on Marshall Wealth Radio. I'm Rod Fritz. Hello. Along with Mike Marshall, CEO, founder of Marshall Wealth Management. Hello, Mike.
How are you, Rod?
I'm great. I'm great. A lot of interesting things that we've discussed in the program today. And if you want to get more, you can reach Mike at 857-342-1030. Also online at marshallwealth.com. And a reminder, because you can't say this too much. And another workshop coming up here, Mike. On June 22nd, this workshop will be held at the Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. Again, that's June 22nd. It's at 11 a.m. at the Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. You can register online, marshallwealth.com, and you can call them and register that way at 857-342-1030.
Yes, and what we're doing is we are advocating that you design or have a plan designed for retirement.
Right.
Especially retirement income streams.
Yeah.
Taxable. You need to make them tax efficient.
Absolutely.
So we'll be covering all of that stuff in the workshop.
Yeah, frankly, I'm looking forward to it.
It should be great.
I'm looking forward to it. All right, so before the break, we said we're going to talk about the difference between revocable trust and irrevocable trust.
Mm.
And, you know, being someone who always puts this stuff off, the only difference I see is in the spelling.
No. Incorrect, Rod.
Okay.
The difference between a revocable trust and an irrevocable trust is as wide as the difference between night and day.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
Let's get into it then.
All right. So a revocable trust and a living trust are the same exact things. All right. It's a trust where the terms can be changed at any time. Whereas an irrevocable trust describes a trust that cannot be modified. After it's created, it cannot be modified without the beneficiary's consent.
Oh.
So they are totally, totally different. And used in different circumstances.
And it almost sounds like the beneficiaries are in control of an irrevocable trust.
Correct. That is very, very poignant of you to notice.
I've been hanging around you.
You're picking it up.
I'm getting there.
Yes. A revocable trust is much more lenient. And a revocable trust is one where the trustee, okay, controls the trust, and you, as the donor, can be the trustee. So a revocable trust is used very, very often to avoid probate, and in some cases, it can offer some sort of creditor protection, but nothing like the protection that an irrevocable trust provides.
Right.
An irrevocable trust is exactly the way it states. It's irrevocable. Once it's signed, it's immediately set in stone. And except under really rare circumstances, no changes can be made to an irrevocable trust. So you got to really think long and hard. Is this something that I want to do?
Right. And some things are better for some people. In other words, a revocable trust is better for some people. And an irrevocable trust is better for some people.
Exactly. They're just tools in the tool bag. Until we apply them to a specific client situation, we would have absolutely no idea which product that we would use, if we would use any product at all. Hmm. Perhaps we don't even need a trust. But assuming we need a trust, we're going to assess the client situation, talk to them about their goals and objectives, make sure we understand what they're trying to achieve, and then we will always inform them of things that they may not have been thinking about. For example, a lot of folks want to put their house in an irrevocable trust so that they feel like they can protect it from potential nursing home costs down the road. But a lot of times what they don't realize is they've got $600,000-$700,000 of equity in the house, and that's real money that they are losing access to once they give the house to the irrevocable trust. With an irrevocable trust, you can only access interest from the assets. You cannot access principal. So if you're going to put your family home in an irrevocable trust and it's got an $800,000 equity number on it, then you are essentially giving up access to $800,000 of your estate. That's a very, very serious planning move that needs a lot of consideration before you actually execute.
Yeah, let me ask you a little bit more about that. So if you make a good point here that in an irrevocable trust, if you sell your house and you have $800,000 in equity in that house, you can't get that, you and your spouse, or if your spouse has passed on, you cannot get that $800,000. It has to go to the beneficiaries?
Exactly. Exactly. And so that's why I encourage clients to think long and hard before they make that move. And One of the reasons is, Rod, is because they don't realize a lot of times that they're not able to access that nest egg any longer. And it could be that that nest egg is needed to provide income and potentially some principal during your lifetime. Well, you're giving up access to the principal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, therefore, I feel like people really need to have an assessment, an in-depth assessment done before they decide they're going to go with an irrevocable trust. The other thing is, the federal government now has put an $11 million number on the estate tax debt. So,
okay,
in this country, unless you have more than $11 million, federally, oh, you'll be exempt from estate taxes.
So, if I have less than $11 million, I'm good.
You're good. You don't have to worry about sheltering assets from federal estate taxes.
I'm good.
Oh, you good?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Good.
I just wanted to make sure, Rod.
Yeah, I'm good.
Right? But the state of Massachusetts has a $1 million level, exemption level. So as soon as you're $1 million, now you're subject to Massachusetts estate tax, but they are significantly less than the federal tax. So sometimes you make a choice. I'm going to pay the Massachusetts tax, and I'm going to keep the asset for my use while I'm alive. And when we pass, my husband and I, or myself, the asset will go on to my children. So that's typically how it would work. The irrevocable trust is the stronger of the two. The revocable trust is primarily used to avoid probate. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Let's say, for example, that you were married and you and your wife both had separate checking accounts.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Which a lot of families do, by the way.
A lot of families do. And or real estate. Individual ownership of real estate. That is going to fall into a situation where if you pass, because the asset, the real estate, is titled in your individual name, it will have to go through probate before it gets to the beneficiaries. And it's the same with any asset, whether it be a checking account, savings account, a mortgage, anything. Any title that you have individually is subject to probate upon your death. So if people don't have anyone they want to add to the account, either making it a joint account, which would avoid probate, but it would literally belong to that second person at your death. Sometimes folks put a TOD on their individual accounts, which is a transfer on death designation. It's like naming a beneficiary for your checking and savings account, because normally you don't, right? Well, you want to avoid probate. So if you want to continue to own the asset in your individual name, you want to either put a transfer on death designation on it, or you want to put it in a revocable trust. The other thing about revocable trust is that it keeps your information private, Rod. I think you would like that.
Oh, absolutely. Especially in these times. It's very important to keep information, personal information, private.
Yes. And I would say that that is probably the number one reason why folks do business using a revocable trust as the owner, as opposed to owning it in their individual names.
Okay. Let me ask you a question here, and you can give me an answer, or maybe come up with an example here.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your checking account and your savings account.
Yeah.
And you've set that up with, let's say, your daughter.
Yes.
Who is your co-person.
Is she a minor or?
No,
she's an adult.
They would be an adult.
Okay.
Or your son, mm-hmm. whoever, one of your children.
I have one of each.
Yeah, and they're an adult, okay?
Yes.
Now you pass away.
Mm-hmm.
They have complete control of that checking and savings account, or can they then designate someone else to be a co-owner? Yeah.
Yes. And yes, so they would absolutely own the account outright 100% as the joint owner.
Right.
At that point, they could either file a transfer on death designation to someone who they wanted to get the asset when they pass, or if they want to avoid probate, because they do own it individually now.
Right.
They can create a trust and put it in the title in the name of the trust. A lot of our clients have checking accounts in the name of their trust because it's just easier and more cohesive as a planning tool to keep everything consistent and simple is very, very important.
Yeah, because, I mean, I can see, you know, sometimes when money is involved with families, things can get out of hand, especially if one sibling has control of the checking and savings account after the mother or father passes away, and the two other siblings say, well, where's my share?
Yeah, it can get ugly with families upon the death of a loved one. I've seen some horror show situations, but we try to avoid them at all costs.
And that's where a revocable and irrevocable trust can assist someone there.
Absolutely. They're planning tools. And I want to make it clear that I am not an estate planning attorney. However, we do have a certified estate planning attorney in our office who is available to work with our clients on an as-needed basis. He would be the one that we would sit with to determine which, if any, of these trusts would be used in the design of your financial and estate plan.
Right. And as you prepare for your retirement, or if you're already in retirement and you want to save as much as you possibly can from taxes. And another workshop from Marshall Wealth Management with Mike Marshall, of course, is coming up on June 22nd at 11 a.m., the Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. You can register by calling 857-342-1030 or go online at marshallwealth.com.
That's right. And if you can't make the workshops this time, check the website. We have a schedule of all of our workshops listed. And what it is, Rod, is it's an opportunity for you to come down and get educated and understand what you need to be thinking about as you get to these critical years of your life. And it's a complimentary thing. I mean, we don't charge anything. All we're asking is that you take the time to come and see us, learn about what's important, and if needed, we are there to help you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, actually. I want to see you in action. You know, this has been a great program today.
I enjoyed it.
You know, we've talked about the Secure Act 2.0, the changes, and how it's helping small businesses.
Yes.
I think, and that's really great. And the thing that you educated me on today is the prime rate and the federal funds rate, how those two work together. And then, of course, the revocable and irrevocable trust.
Yes, there's a lot more to be discussed
with
the revocable and irrevocable trust.
There is.
It's the application of those trusts that are the most important.
I'm Rod Fritz, along with Mike Marshall. This is Marshall Wealth Radio on WRKO.
The views and opinions expressed herein are those of the participants of the show and may or may not represent the views of Capital Analysts or Lincoln Investment. The material presented is provided for informational purposes only. All investments are subject to risk, including the risk of principal loss. Advisory services offered through Capital Analysts or Lincoln Investment, registered investment advisors. Securities offered through Lincoln Investment, broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC, www.lincolninvestment.com. Marshall Wealth Management and the above firms are independent and not affiliated. Insurance, legal, tax, or Social Security claiming services are not offered through or supervised by the Lincoln Investment Companies. WRKO and Rod Fritz are not affiliated with Lincoln Investment or Capital Analysts.
The S&P 500 Index is an index of 500 of the largest exchange-traded stocks in the U.S. from a broad range of industries whose collective performance mirrors the overall stock market. Investors cannot invest directly in an index. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
None of the information presented should be considered as tax or legal advice. You should consult your tax or legal professional for information concerning your individual situation.